Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Thank you. What is going on, everyone? Welcome to Coexisting with Rob and Maggie. It is Friday, August 30th. We are glad you are here because we are glad that we get to talk wrestling for the next hour and a half. Got a lot to talk about. We've got four big shows to preview, and two of them we'll predict. So, looking forward to that. But, Maggie, as I start every show, you just got back from London. How are you doing?
Depressed, Rob. Stop me if you heard this before. I hate that I'm here. Not here on the show. I love our show. This is our baby. I hate being here in Bulgaria. Like, I talked to my best friend today on the phone, and she's like, how much do you hate being here right now? And I'm like, a lot, sweetie. I hate it a lot. Such a magical weekend / week. I would like to publicly say a huge thank you to our friend John Barker. If it wasn't for him, this wouldn't have been as exciting as it already was. He helped me out a lot, because people who know me in real life have no idea about this, but I am extremely not well in places that I do not know. Incredibly disoriented. This is a legitimate thing. So we get to the place where I'm staying. John Barker took me to the place where I'm staying just so he can show me how to get there with the tube. And I was like, oh, okay. So this is where I stay. Okay, so I dropped off my stuff, and then we got to Starbucks for a cup of coffee. So then he took me back, you know, to the place until he waits for the time came for his tube to come, and I was like, oh wait, where is my key thing where I put the password and get in? And he's like, right over there. And it was like 2 feet away. And I legitimately did not know where it was. When we were drinking coffee, he was like, are you up for going to Ref Pro tomorrow? Because like I landed on Friday. Mm-hmm. And he was like, Ref Pro is on Saturday night. Would you like us to go? And I'm like, yeah, we can go. And he starts, you know, tell me about the card, and I'm like, you won me at Zack Sabre Jr. versus Hechicero, which was the match of the weekend for me, easily. Yeah. People asked me how I liked Ref Pro, and I was like, I enjoyed it more than All In last year. And that's saying something, because All In last year was my first ever wrestling event ever.
Yeah, yeah.
The stupid thing was that the guys at Ref Pro just took away their merch stands after the show ended. And this is kind of mind-boggling to me, because surely there are people like me who are seeing Ref Pro for the first time in their lives. I'm sure that I'm not the only one. And of course, after the show, people are going to want to get some Ref Pro merch. And they took it. And I'm like, this is stupid for me. Like, it's really not necessary. But I did order Ref Pro merch While I was in my hotel room, and it'll come soon. I bought a RevPro hoodie because it looked really good, and of course a Zack Sabre Jr. t-shirt. Nice. Yes, this was my first time seeing Zack Sabre Jr. wrestle, and him facing Hechicero was so good because both of them are incredibly good together. And his entire speech after the match, I got it all on video. I'm pretty much hooked on independent wrestling right now because I knew that indie shows were good always. But of course, having in mind my full-time job and, you know, the time difference, there's just so little wrestling you can, you know, keep tabs on. But this was incredibly good. It was exactly like small concerts and big time concerts. You always enjoy the smaller ones because it's so it's more personal between you and the wrestlers.
Like
you can
intimate.
Hear. Like... Yes, it's more intimate, and I could legitimately feel the slaps from Ishii. I could feel the slaps, and I'm like, oh.
Like a dog biting your nipples, or
like dog biting my nipples. Yeah, we get to talk about that again. It was incredibly good. I got to meet people during the show in Box Park before All In, where the boys from Wrestle Talk did their survival series for about 20 minutes. Talking about the Wrestle Talk dudes. It is always incredibly such a hard thing to say goodbye to Tempest. Because, again, and I told this to a lot of people, I know that we're not supposed to have favorites. I'm aware of that. But Tempest is such a favorite of mine. He's such a fucking sweetheart. And it just pains me. Last year, I said goodbye to him, and it was like one of the hardest things ever. And pretty much the hardest thing in the world. I right after All In, because it was ridiculously hard to get an Uber. So I walked a bit, and I ended up being in the parking lot of a McDonald's.
Nice.
Where and I was like, while I'm waiting for my Uber, I'm going to start watching the post show for All In. And Sean was doing a solo show. Yep. And like there were like at least 1,000 people around me, like waiting for McDonald's. And they could hear Sean's voice because I wasn't wearing my headphones. They could hear Sean's voice and they saw that I was watching the post show. And they started chanting SRS. And I'm like.
Wow. That's crazy.
Incredibly crazy. It's I got home safely. To pulling back the curtain, I sat with a friend of mine who was there last year, Philip, for the show, and two brothers. I could only imagine they were brothers because they looked alike. Two brothers sat right next to us, and one of them started sneezing a lot.
Nice.
Yeah, and at that moment, I turned to him and I said, bless you. And he was like, yes, thank you. And I said, would you like a tissue? And they say, well, you are so ridiculously nice. And I'm like, thank you. I'm not British. Please take the tissue.
Oh, God.
Which is a rib, of course. So British people are incredibly nice, at least to me. So we started talking, and I'm like, if I get sick, this will be an incredibly awful experience. So please take the tissues and don't sneeze anymore. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And the guy that was sitting right next to me, the one that was not sneezing, and he was like, well, I get sick all the time. I have two children at home. And I'm like, well, fucking great. And now I'm sick. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So I blame the two brothers that were sitting right next to us. Thank you. Like, those people, the two of them, were ridiculously entertaining throughout the entire show because they were basically doing commentary. Yeah. And they were so funny. I was having a laugh. That's incredibly good.
Going back to Ref Pro, was the Dante Martin surprise pretty good?
Everyone popped, and I'm like, oh my god, I need to make a video for this of this for Rob. And then just because of all the excitement and in the anxiety, I just couldn't. But like the first person that came to my mind was you. And I'm like, Rob's going to be so incredibly happy. The Dante Martin was an incredible surprise. Of course, Zack Sabre Jr., Giselle Shaw being the final participant in a 10-woman match, which up to this point was match of the night for me. The women killed it.
Yeah.
And then Zack Sabre Jr. and Hedge Zero came out, and Jesus,
you know,
so good.
You know who would have made that show even better? Jeff Jarrett.
Stop it.
Did somebody say Jeff Jarrett? That's J-E-F-F, J-A-R-R-E-T.
Yep.
That is such a ridiculous slap in the face.
I know, it's great. That's John Barker, who was helping Maggie all week. Yes! I put him ahead because I'm like, this is going to be perfect. Yeah, the person that helped you all week came to the dark side.
Stabbed me in the back.
Yes.
Yes.
It's the best thing ever. I was trying to
figure
out how
I'm gonna do this. I have a question now. Did you ask him to make that prior or after?
Oh, I just did it like
with him
yesterday, I think. I'm like, sure. I have other ones, but that was the one I'm like, ooh, I should try to get this one right now because like you were like, he was with you all weekend helping you and stuff like that. I'm like, this would be a perfect one. So as you sending him a threatening text message, there we go. But we do have a super chat from our good friend Eric Freed. Hello, Rob, Maggie, and chat. I lost my hat at the gym. I'd like to say I thought Moxley looked like Ryback and was hoping he'd tell Tony to feed him to Darby. Wow. Man. Well, I hope you find your hat. I don't know what Moxley did to you to say you look like Ryback, but... And guys, you know...
Yes.
I said a super chat. We appreciate it.
Yes, let me just get in my shtick. First of all, Eric, happy belated birthday, sweetie. I hope you find your hat in from the gym or buy a better one that says John Moxley on it. Ha! Or apparently Ryback. So guys, hi. Thank you for joining us so much. Thank you for your endless support. Thank you for all the best wishes while I was in London. I promise I will get back to each and every one of you in my DMs. I never thought ever in my life that I was ever going to say this, but I will get back to every one of you, but there were a lot of you. I'm so incredibly
into your DMs, huh?
Like adorable people, like our fans, Robert.
Our fans, well, your fans.
Our fans. Thank you for joining us so much. Please, guys, leave a like on the video. This is the most important thing and the cheapest way to support us by leaving a like on the video. It tells us that you like what we do. Also, if you would like to support us via your wallets and your money, please send us a super chat. It's the bottom of the live YouTube chat, the little dollar sign. You can also send a humper chat at humperchats.com. It makes us keep a little bit more of the proceeds. Please subscribe to Fightful Overbooked. Subscribe to youtube.com/Fightful. And last but definitely not least, please subscribe to Fightful Select, the easiest $5 you're ever going to spend about wrestling news, wrestling contracts, a lot of scoopsies from Corey Brennan on NXT. Also from Sean about Bash at Berlin, No Mercy, and everything. Thank you for everything that you guys tell us, that you guys leave us a comment about, which brings me to, you know, my last plea. After the show ends, please leave a comment underneath the video. It helps us with the algorithm a lot. So we can get right into it, Robert.
I'm kicking my head off. It's warm in here. All right.
I have wet hair again. Like 3 years I've been doing the show, and like two times in a span of 3 weeks, I do the show with wet hair. This is incredibly poor timing when it comes to my professionalism. I'm so sorry. But it looks good, like I made it into. Yes. Yes.
That's okay. You know what you're pretty much doing? Like, just you're
Sacrifice! Okay, I was either thinking, okay, how can he turn this into a Jeff Jarrett thing, or he's gonna do the sacrifice thing.
Yeah, it's I was going right by it. I'm like, well, she's talking about like doing
sacrificing. Being, yes, yeah.
Thank you, guys. Tomorrow we have WWE Bash in Berlin taking place at the Uber Arena in Berlin, Germany. There's 5 matches on the card. And we will go ahead and start with our predictions right now. So we will go ahead and go to our first match. Let's go with the mixed tag team match. Liv Morgan, Dominic Mysterio, taking on Rhea Ripley and Mr. Damian Priest. Maggie, who do you got?
Okay, so Liv Morgan is the champion here, the only champion in this match. But I don't think that Liv and Dom need the win here. They can easily pin Dominic. I don't even care if Rhea Ripley pins the guy. I know that they're not supposed to because it's a mixed tag, but like probably the men fight the men and the women fight the women. So they've been teasing Rhea Ripley getting her hands on Dominic for weeks now, and she hasn't, at least not as much as we wanted to. So she's probably going to kick his ass, give him the riptide, and then Damian Priest can do the... What do you call his finisher? The side slam thing that he does.
Oh God! What,
yeah, it's not that important. So I'm gonna pick Rhea Ripley.
South of heaven.
Thank you. I'm gonna pick Rhea Ripley and Damian Priest here. So yes, of course, Jade tells us.
Yeah.
In the chat. I'm so happy that you're here, sweetie. I also hope that you're feeling better, because the moment I saw on Twitter that you were sick, I felt really bad, and then I got sick too. Sick sisters, but I am having a fancy UK cold, which kind of better than a Bulgarian one, so yeah. Who do you got in this match?
I don't even have colds in Bulgaria. Yeah. Anyways, before I forget,
you're stealing.
Yeah, well, he's not here, so I might want
Ryan's bit. Yeah. Yep. There needs to be one of you, right?
Yeah. So anyways, I want Corey Michaels says shout out to New Japan Pro Wrestling. Shout out to Corey. He will be covering New Japan Pro Wrestling for the Wrestling Observer. Congratulations to him. That's awesome. Gets to work with a lot of good people over there. So congrats to Corey for that.
Incredibly, incredibly proud of you, Corey. This is the sweetest thing. And I told you like at least 1,000 times when we were speaking to each other in DMs, it's always darkest before the dawn. Just amazing things keep happening to amazing people. And you are so incredibly deserving of all of that. We adore you. We love you. And you're about to be big, sweetie.
Yeah, congrats, man. I'm gonna go with Rhea and Damian. Sure. I think they
why need
the win because they need they. I think they need the win. Let Rhea get to Dominic. and we'll go from there. I think that's the way to go. So that's where I see it going. But
I see this as a reason for Rhea Ripley to get her rematch against Liv Morgan, because like they don't do rematches anymore, right? It has to make sense. So this is the way it makes sense for them.
Yeah. Going on to our next match, the Women's Tag Team Championship match, Unholy Union, Alba Fire and Isla Dawn taking on Miss Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair. I think we're going to get new tag team champions. Maggie, what do you think?
Okay, so guys, right before our show started with Rob, I was over a True Heel Heat with SP3 talking about Bash at Berlin and No Mercy. So about this match, SP3 and I, we ranted on about 40 minutes about this match, because like you have all this amazing star power in one place. I know we won't. Thank you. We have all this amazing star power. All four women in this match. Brilliant, amazing, phenomenal women. And they're fighting for championships that people keep forgetting that WWE have. I understand people making a point out of, well, when the championships are on Jade and Bianca, they're going to feel big. What? It's literal championship gold. Like, if you're not going to do anything with the tag team championships, just send those titles to NXT where they pretty much belong because of the amount of women that they put on the show each and every week. Shout out to NXT for that. But I just... Justice for Alba Fire and Isla Dawn. The reason why they put the championships on them was an incredible tragedy that happened in Alba Fire's family. And
I don't know if that's necessarily why they did that.
It's also because it was Scotland, and those two reasons are incredibly, like, it shouldn't be the reasons. Those reasons shouldn't be the reasons why you put those championships on these women. It should be because you want to push the hell out of these women because they're good in the ring and can carry a match. They can carry a feud. They can make those titles matter as long as you put them on the screen. Just make something with them, because I'm so incredibly afraid that if Bianca and Jade win those championships, then what happens to the Unholy Union after that? I don't want them to disappear again, because I love Alba and Isla ever since NXT UK. I love them, and Kaylee Ray was the forever champion, now Isla Dawn. And I legitimately thought that she was never going to lose that championship, ever. Then enter Meiko Satomura. But I will go with my heart here, and I will go with Alba Fire and Isla Dawn. I know that this is probably not the way that it's going to go. I'm almost sure that new champions will get crowned in the face of Jade and Bianca, but I just want stuff to happen to Isla and Isla. Amazing stuff. They deserve the world.
Yeah. All right. We got another super chat from Eric. He says, "I found my hat. Sorry, Moxley. So glad you found your hat." Let's move on to our next match.
He also said coexisting rules. Jesus, why didn't you read that?
Coexisting. Sorry, I forgot about that part. So he is right, though. Coexisting does rule. We go on to our next match. CM Punk taking on Drew McIntyre in a strap match. I have CM Punk winning this. I do. He's going to hit all four corners. And I think this match is going to, I think this feud is going to continue until, I think their last match is going to happen at Bad Blood. I really do. And that's how I see it. If I'm wrong, I'm all for it. I think this feud has gone on long enough. Obviously, it technically started before WrestleMania, you know, so that's the way I see it. But I have CM Punk winning.
Yeah, like, Rob, nothing spells out, this is exactly what I said on True Heel Heat, nothing spells out blood feud more than gently touching four turnbuckles. I hate that this is all four corners strap match. Just making a submission or pinfall while you're in a strap match, I just don't understand. I have CM Punk winning here. That way they can have one each. And, you know, a cage match at Bad Blood sounds pretty interesting to me. They're badly trying to put over the bracelet thing, which is still making zero sense to me. You know, the reason why people fell in love with CM Punk was because he was the one that makes sense all the time. Like Kevin Owens is right now. This is legitimately why people love Kevin Owens, not only because he's incredibly good in the ring, but because he's been filling in plot holes in storylines ever since he came to WWE, and I adore that. So CM Punk was that in the past. He made sense. He spoke the things that no one wanted to speak. You know, this is why people love CM Punk. But now he's desperately trying to explain why the bracelet is such an important thing to him. So probably maybe could have delivered the GTS, pinned Drew McIntyre, and then shouted at Seth Rollins' face about him wearing the bracelet. I don't know. Like logical people do. But, like, I know, like, I probably would be pissed if someone took something that said AJ Lee on it and it was mine. But this is me, and I adore AJ Lee, and CM Punk gets to hang out with her every day. So probably that's a bit different. Yeah, I'm going with CM Punk here. The match is going to be really good. I hope. So the thing that SP3 pointed out was CM Punk could drag Drew McIntyre to each and every corner, but he doesn't see that Drew McIntyre pats every corner of the ring right after CM Punk does. And then as CM Punk is reaching for the last turnbuckle, Drew McIntyre just pulls him away and hits the fourth turnbuckle. And this may be the way Drew McIntyre pulls out a win from CM Punk, because it isn't pinfall, it's not submission, it's not like you don't get a visual of Drew McIntyre actually beating CM Punk. So this can be a loophole in, you know, WWE logic. But I am going with CM Punk here.
Alrighty. So we both have CM Punk winning here.
Yeah.
You know, I think we're going to say what I think the main event is going to be. So we're going to go with Cody Rhodes versus Kevin Owens for the WWE Undisputed Championship. So basically, I think Gunther versus Randy is going to be
They better.
So this is, I think, the safest match to predict here. Well, actually, both championship matches are easily to predict, in my opinion, on this one.
Yeah.
Cody's going to win here, and I think it's the beginning of the prize fighter returning of Kevin Owens. I think we're going to get that. I would be 100%, absolutely 100% okay if Kevin Owens won the title, but that's because I'm a huge Kevin Owens mark. However, I don't see it happening. But Cody Rhodes wins, and I'm sorry for saying that, Steven, but yeah, I like Cody, but I like Kevin Owens a lot too. So anyways, I have Cody Rhodes winning. I think it's just simple, and since that one's simple, I might as well just go ahead and say the other match is simple. Gunther versus Randy Orton. That one too. Gunther, he wins it. Will there be shenanigans? Likely, in that one. And I can totally see Solo being in the Cody Rhodes match too. I mean, I think shenanigans is going to happen in one of those two matches. So there you go. Maggie, what do you think?
I agree with you 100%. I think we've addressed this issue before on one of our shows. I'm not feeling Cody right now. And it's probably because of the Roman Reigns return. I really wanted to believe the WWE see Cody Rhodes as a main eventer, like we see him as a main eventer. But like, it's like that meme with the boy turning to Roman Reigns while Cody Rhodes is right there, you know, like that, exactly like the meme. Cody Rhodes feuds haven't been hitting. The only one that hit was against AJ Styles, and their match in France was incredibly entertaining. One of the best WWE matches this year. I adore the crap out of that match. It is a pity that Cody Rhodes hasn't felt that big after Roman Reigns returned. Don't get me wrong. People keep whoa-ing all over the place. Mm-hmm. Even during my queue for getting in Wembley, like they were playing different wrestling themes. It doesn't matter which company they're from, and they were playing Cody thing, and like out of nowhere, because like people were talking to each other in the lines, and when the whoa came and everyone was like like out of nowhere, and then continued speaking to each other, and I'm like, that is the funniest thing I've seen today. Legitimately. So yeah, it definitely doesn't help with the fact that it's probably because all of his feuds have been incredibly predictable. I do wonder if we get a heel turn from Kevin Owens. I think it's kind of predictable. The thing I can see more is Randy Orton turning into SmackDown and turning heel on Cody Rhodes and setting up their match. So both Kevin Owens and Randy Orton turning heel on Cody, I don't see that happening. As it comes to Gunther and Randy Orton, I just hope it's as good as their first match, which was ruined by that awful, awful ending. Oh, maybe his shoulders were up. Yes, they were. Incredibly good match. Rob and I have discussed this. It's incredibly hard to make me like a Randy Orton match. I'm sorry. I'm not into Randy Orton as much as people are, and I feel bad about that. I really, really want to like Randy Orton, but it's just hard. But his match against Gunther was probably one of my favorite Randy Orton matches ever. I'm looking forward to this. Are you hyped about Bash at Berlin?
Yeah, I am. I mean, I always like the afternoon shows. Plus, I like the shows that are in Europe, you know, like when they're over there, because you get the crowds, and I enjoy it. And I think the thing that both matches are very, in my opinion, are predictable. And you make a good point. I could totally see Randy Orton being the one that turns on Cody, but my thing is, if they do that, they have to do that. If they do it there, that would mean Gunther and Orton will not main event.
I didn't say Randy Orton directly turning heel. No, gotcha. Next week on SmackDown.
Okay, gotcha. Okay. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I actually like that idea too, where, you know, where Randy comes out and checks on him, and all of a sudden he just, I mean, the match would have to be over, but But I do like that idea, though. Eventually, Randy's the one that turns, and everybody thinks it's KO. So maybe that's the way they go. Because I do think it would be kind of cool to see KO and Randy Orton both be heels and they're together type thing. I think that'd be pretty badass, to be honest with you.
Please speak while I blow my nose.
Okie dokie. So, well, it sounds like you went with Gunther as well. So we're done with WWE Bash in Berlin. So we will move on to NXT's No Mercy taking place in Denver, Colorado this weekend, Sunday night at the Ball Arena. Beautiful downtown Denver area.
The only thing that is good about Colorado is South Park. So why isn't
Will Washington too?
Will Washington also. Yes, Will Washington too. So why isn't NXT No Mercy over in Germany? Because like this would have been wonderful. It's probably SP3 made a good point out of probably both Zach and Wesley, you know, the Rascals, just wanted to smoke some legal weed.
That doesn't stop them.
Yeah.
They'll smoke their marijuana wherever they want to.
Marijuana's bad, okay.
Yeah, okay. All right, so NXT No Mercy. Let's start with this first match, the NXT Tag Team Championship match. Chase Hughes, Andre Chase, along with Ridge Holland, taking on Axiom, and as we say on this show, Ben Carter, aka Nathan Frazer. Maggie has Chase Hugh.
Yes, I do have Chase Hugh. I think that the main question here is, do we get a heel turn from either Nathan or Axiom? Or is this the storyline between Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross when, oh, here it comes, Alexa Bliss is going to turn on Nikki and then she never does? SP3 actually predicted that Nathan was going to turn on Axiom because I kept thinking that Axiom is going to turn on Nathan and remove his mask and everything.
And then they'll be like, it's a kid.
No. It's a kid. Yes. But because like I do feel like I see Nathan as a human Labrador. And I could never see him as a heel, but SP3 made a good point out of Nathan is Seth Rollins' protege. And if Seth Rollins can do it, probably Nathan could do it. Also, imagine if Nathan is way better as a heel. Because like that goody two shoes thing that they have going on with Ben Carter is just really not working for me. And imagine if he's a stone cold heel and I adore the crap out of that guy even more. So I suppose we'll see. I do have Chase you winning here. Because actually the ones to take the titles off of Rich Holland and Andre Chase in my head are Duke Hudson and Riley Osborne. Like, okay. Chase U again, but like a different team from Chase U.
The different Chase U. Yeah. I actually like that idea too. That's pretty good. Oh, I guess I forgot their team name, Supersonic Duo.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Supersonic.
Man. So, let's go on to our next match here.
Did you pick Chase U too?
Oh, I didn't even pick. I got Chase U winning. I do.
Okay. Okay.
So we go on to our next match. Miss Kalani Jordan taking on Wendy Chu for the NXT Women's North American Championship. Man, the way Wendy Chu's going, I don't know. I can't really see her losing the way they've been pushing her. Out of the belts changing, this is one I could see change. I could definitely see this one changing. So I'm gonna go with Wendy Chu, but I'd be perfectly okay with Kalani Jordan holding on to this. But I think Wendy Chu is gonna get the victory here.
I adored Rosemary turning up at NXT. This was such a ridiculously good surprise. Who is Kalani Jordan apart from a gymnast? Who is she? She's like, they haven't done any character build for her. And I hate that because she's obviously good in the ring. Make me care about her. I mean, they called her bubbly on commentary at least 3 times, and I wanted to smash my TV set. You do not refer to your inaugural NXT Women's North American Champion as bubbly. You do not do that, please. Because this is the only John. I guess I deserve that for being so much disoriented, okay? Like, I still love you, okay? But like, you're on thin ice. So, I would like for Kalani to actually have a personality, please. And if that means Wendy Chu winning that championship, just so Kalani can chase after her baby back. This will be better. I do pick Kalani Jordan. I want my baby back, baby.
Baby
back ribs. Chili's baby back. Man, I miss BTE so much. Damn it. Yeah. So I am picking Kalani Jordan here. I don't know if they pulled the trigger on Wendy. But her in the ring with Rosemary was a sight to see. I enjoyed it immensely. Yeah. I'm going to go with Kalani Jordan. I will not mind if Wendy Chu actually wins this match. Not at all. But I just want some character development. They're obviously good in the ring, which for the time they've been wrestling, it's way better than all of us expected. So maybe, like, give us a personality about these women, please.
All right. So we move on to our next match. Wes Lee of NXT taking on his brother from a different mother of TNA's Zach Wentz. This match is going to kick ass, I think. I really do think this match is going to kick all kinds of ass, but I think Wesley's going to get the victory here because he's going to do what it takes to win. So I think the heel's going to get it. That's my easy choice here. I think that's the way they go. What do you think?
Okay, here's why this is stupid. First of all, match of the night. I haven't even seen it. It's going to be match of the night. Just mark my words. But, how is the heel right in everything that he said? Because,
I don't mean to cut you off, but when you look at it, heels are almost always right. Like, when it comes to, like, they tell the truth for the most part.
Yeah, for the most part. Just look at Drew. He's not the heel ever. So the Rascals are watching Wes Lee self-destruct. And they don't text the guy. They don't call him or anything. Like, none whatsoever. They decide to show up unannounced in his workplace, live in front of cameras and fans, to say something. So Wesley is incredibly right. They are doing this for the NXT rub. It is clearly what they're doing. Because, oh my God, I haven't seen you in a while. Well, because they don't care. They want the rub. They're there for the NXT rub. Not for you, I'm sorry. But like, Wesley is all kinds of right. Again, match for the night. Wesley will be Zach here. They were an amazing tag team. MSK was a wonderful thing. But it ended like it ended. I feel like all of us are, you know, bummed out about everything that transpired back then. It is what it is. They are back, like Zach and Trey are back in TNA. This storyline just makes no sense to me. I understand where Zach comes from with Trey, but like, they did look like people who were taking advantage of their friend and making themselves look as if they're supporting the guy, whilst in reality, they are here for only the television. Like, it's just annoying for me. It's been bugging me ever since it happened. And I don't see Wesley as the bad guy here. Everyone keeps booing the crap out of him. And I'm like, what? He's right. He's right. And just, yeah.
All right. Well, like I said, I have Wesley, so yes. I do think this match is going to kick all kinds of ass. Let's go to our next match. This match I'm actually looking forward to because I'm really curious to see how they go.
Oh, yeah.
The NXT North American Championship with Mr. Obafemi taking on your guy.
For once, he is my guy.
Yeah.
Yes, your Tony guy. D.
Yeah, Tony D. Now, do you think Tony D gets the victory here? Do you think
not happening.
The only way I see that happening is if they're going to maybe move Oba to the main title picture. But
No, he needs to do exactly like Asuka did back in the days. Like he just retires the championship. No, not the championship, but like goes to the main roster whilst never losing the North American championship. Sure. Or he can put off Keith Lee and just go for the NXT championship while he's North American championship, but never get rid of the North American championship, because back when Keith Lee did it, made no sense whatsoever.
And then you could have Adam Cole manage him.
Yes, exactly, Robert. Never. So, personally, I would just like to see Adam Cole on my television. At this point, I don't mind what role he's in. I just miss Adam Cole. This match is gonna be probably the second match I'm most looking forward to on this card, because all Tony D'Angelo segments on NXT have been incredibly well thought out, very well produced, and I have my eyes glued on the television every time Tony D'Angelo is there, because like, his bits are incredibly entertaining. He's like a mob boss, man.
Yeah.
And like, he has his family and everything, and they're so good. It's just different. I don't know if Tony D'Angelo's character will work on the main roster. My answer is no, because Legado del Fantasma was brilliant in NXT, and they're like not that big on SmackDown right now. So I just wonder. I'm gonna be worried when it comes to Tony D'Angelo being called up. And the stupid thing is that he's probably going to get called up alone without the rest of the family and just fucking boo, okay? He works so well with the rest of them. It just makes sense for them to move on with them as a group. But, like, let's leave that for the time when it actually comes. This match is going to be brilliant. Someone in the True Heel Heat live chat called Obafemi the next Gunther. And I will be incredibly happy if this happens to be the case, because while Gunther did make his name on the independent scene, Obafemi didn't. Like, he's been doing this for like a couple of years and he's that good. Like, that That is what I'm saying, because like a lot of the people over at NXT right now haven't been doing this for a long time, and there's just a natural, and they have an incredible charisma about them. And I'm so happy that we live in this stage of wrestling where we get to experience that. It's just incredibly, incredibly cool to see that. But Oba Femi, yes.
Gotcha. Yeah, Oba. Gets the victory here. We move on to the NXT Women's Championship match. I had just deleted the graphic, so let's go right back to it, though. We can do that. It's pretty easy. Miss Roxanne Perez defending her title against Jada Parker. Maggie, who you got?
It's kind of predictable. I do see Roxanne Perez winning the match. I have, because I've adored Jada Parker so far. But what the fuck is that finisher that she has? and I said this on True Heel Heat. How am I supposed to take that finisher seriously? While 99.99% of the male population of this earth would like to her to do that to them. That incredibly awesome ass in someone's face. Like, it's not even in a...
Soupy. I need you to edit that for me.
Yeah, so it's stupid because, like, it's not even in the corner or in the turnbuckle like Toni Storm does it. It's just in the middle of the ring, and while she's targeting them with her buttocks, they can just do this.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, if this is a setup for something bigger, this could work. But like, her finisher used to be, you know, the same thing, you know, with the spring, with, the you know, springboard. With her.
Yeah. Senton.
No, it wasn't a springboard. She just like, from the rope, she did like forearm.
The smash. Gotcha.
Yeah. So it was way better. So why did we change that to a touche in the face? Which...
I don't know. And I don't know why I just like just laughed like that either. But or it's whatever. Just, I'm a child, so that's all.
Yeah, tushy. So Jada Parker, the way she carries herself in the ring, it's like she owns that ring and she's the boss of that ring. And her spunkiness reminds me of 2019 Bianca Belair. And this is the same thing that SP3 said. And like, the way she holds herself in the ring, this shouldn't be, like, she makes it look so easy. And she's been doing this for not that long. And I'm so incredibly pumped to see what she does in the near couple of years, because if she's that good and that fluent, her moves, I just cannot. She's a future NXT champion easily, but just not right now, apparently. Not right now, not against Roxanne Perez. They did a special interview backstage this week when we did get a mystery woman being present in the interview, but they didn't show who that was. So because I watched NXT this morning, I've read nothing. I read zero spoilers about anything. But SP3 did have an easy answer about who that woman is. Do you know who that woman is?
Oh, I don't know who it is, but you can say what he thinks it is.
Well, SP3 thinks it's Julia. Okay. Yeah, and it will be good because, first of all, Roxanne looked incredibly surprised or terrified or whatever you want to call it. But the awesome thing was that Jada Parker did not back down from her. And this is character built, because you've seen Jada Parker take zero shit from any woman in that locker room. And this is one of the many reasons I love Jada Parker so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's awesome. So, yeah, she's definitely...
What do you think about this match?
Yeah, the title's not changing hands, but I do see, I think we will see Julia. I really do. I think we'll see her. But Roxanne will get the victory here. And that's really the only thing that sticks out for me. I mean, Jada Parker, like you said, really good. She's going to be a future star, in my opinion, too. It's just, I think they got to keep this title on. Yeah, they got to keep this title on Roxanne Perez with who's coming in. And I think when Julia comes in, she'll take that title. They'll feud for a little bit, and then after that, they can move Roxanne Perez up to the main roster, which I think
we've been saying this for a full year. You realize that, don't you?
Yeah, I know, but I think this time they're going to actually do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yes. Now reminder, guys, please send us your super chats and thoughts about the shows and everything in here. What match are you most looking forward to? Are you excited about all the wrestling?
Yeah. We move on to our main event for NXT No Mercy. It is Joe Hendry taking on Ethan Page, with Trick Williams being the special guest referee. Maggie, do you believe in Joe Hendry winning this NXT championship?
So I believe in Joe Hendry, but I don't believe he's winning that championship, because I know I've said this before, but I really, really hope it happens this time. Josh Alexander.
I know, me too.
Josh Alexander with the TNA championship.
Yeah.
Okay?
Oh.
The TNA championship.
I would love for nothing more tonight than Ethan Page showing up, helping him tonight. And then we see Josh Alexander there Sunday. Or
I just want...
Either
I just
way.
Want, and yes, the thing I want most is NXT No Mercy finishing up with the North's music playing, which is currently Josh Alexander's theme. This is what I want. Give me what I want, okay? I know I'm not Batista, but give me what I want. I'm also not spitting on my microphone, but give me what I want, please. I want to see Josh Alexander. This is the only way I can pop nearly as much as I did for Jordan Grace. Just Josh Alexander, please. I adore that guy. Adore Josh Alexander. So I do see a lot of shenanigans happening in this match, because there's a special guest referee. Every time you see a special guest referee, be ready for a bunch of shenanigans. Pete Dunne will probably get involved. Trick Williams can, you know, brawl to the back with Pete Dunne. At that time, Joe Hendry might actually have a visual pin on Ethan Page, and then a different referee comes out, and then Ethan Page kicks out, and then Josh Alexander comes out, and a lot of shenanigans in this match. That's what I'm seeing. A lot of shenanigans. All I can think about is that amazing Joe Hendry sign with the turning head. It's been 2 weeks and I keep thinking about that sign. That is probably a top three wrestling sign in my head. We've moved on from the many, many Attitude Era signs that there were back in the day, but like this sign takes the cake. It's incredibly funny, good, and it's imaginative, and it took a lot of time to make. Soupy did send me the Twitter user account for that person who made the sign. Thank you, Sweetie, for that. It is such an amazing sign. Kudos to that person. What do you think happens in this match?
I really, for the longest time, thought there was a possibility Joe Hendry would win because how much they like him in NXT. But I just don't see them doing it. Like, I just don't see them putting a title on somebody else's wrestler. It would just be baffling to me. I mean, I'd be okay with it, but I just think it would be crazy for them to do it. So I have Ethan Page winning, but I really, really, really want Josh Alexander to be involved. Really bad. I don't ask for much in life, but this is something I would like.
Yeah, we also would like for the AJ Styles to be in TNA and a lot of stuff in TNA, but like we don't ask for much.
Yeah, yeah. Just start answering our wishes, please. Yes. Scott George says Josh is petty. John Barker says Joe Hendry wins and gets clobbered by Josh Alexander after.
You can have all your amazing points across, but you still
something else that just came to mind is what if Josh Alexander helps Ethan Page win, and then after the match, Josh Alexander attacks Ethan Page because
all of that can happen because Josh Alexander is just that person.
Yeah, I think that's what's gonna happen. Or
I'm still shocked that he turned heel.
Yeah.
I'm seriously shocked. But yeah. I don't care. Just give me Josh Alexander on NXT. That's what I want.
That's all we want.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let the girlhood dream come true.
Yes, please. Yep.
That's all. We don't ask for much, but we do want that. So, well, let's get ready for a little Cooper Effect action.
Rumble!
Guys, I'm sure I've talked about it on this show before, but as you might or might not know, I am a huge sports fan. I'm a huge hockey fan, and some unfortunate news happened last night, early this morning. The news came out about a hockey player from the Columbus Blue Jackets named Johnny Gaudreau. He passed away along with his brother. They were hit by a drunk driver while they were cycling in New Jersey. Now, the reason why the Cooper Effect, I'm doing the Cooper Effect on Johnny, is because of the things he's done for the communities in where he's played. He's done a lot of good. Before, like, he tragically passed away, he was a father of two, married. It's absolutely awful. He was a beloved player in the league, in the NHL. But when he played, like, he was drafted in 2011 by the Calgary Flames. He was, he started playing in the 2013-14 season in Calgary. And something that he did was, when he was there, he worked really closely with a lot of the Calgary charities. One of them, he was the ambassador for one called Kidsport Calgary, and he worked really closely with them, and he would go to hospitals and just hang out with children, meet children, and just do a lot of good around there. And something he did that was really, really cool is in the 2017-18 season, at the start of it, he said for every goal that he scored, he was going to give $1,000 to that organization, which he did. And I mean, the thing is athletes don't have to donate money. I mean, they don't have to. A lot of them do. And a lot of them don't have to put in time to go out and do the volunteer or hanging out with people. But they do it because they know how much it means to others. And what he did was really cool. And it's unfortunate that he won't be able to do that because he had such an effect on a lot of people. I mean, he's 29 years old, and it just sucks that he's gone. He was a beloved player in Columbus, so where he played now. He played for the Columbus Blue Jackets. I've had the opportunity to see him play. He's really good. He played for Team USA just this year in one of the tournament. He's won numerous awards when he played college hockey. He was a Hobie Baker Award winner. He was just really good, and it sucks. Something else that he did, and this one stood out the most to me, was something he did for mental health. There was his teammate at the time, Patrick Lalinne, was basically called out a podcaster for insensitive remarks about mental health. Gaudreau decided in Ottawa when they were there to join his teammates' initiative, and he donated $1,000 to the Ohio Health Foundation for men's mental health services for every point he scored. If other teammates were to pick up the mantle, he said that would be a terrific legacy to do for the Blue Jackets. Patrick left the team, but Gaudreau basically stepped up and took over because he thought that was the right thing to do. So he's done a lot, and he was a good player, and it just sucks. Now, the worst thing, I mean, obviously that's awful with what happened, but something else that was just absolutely awful is the reason why him and his brother were in this town was because their sister was getting married today.
Oh my God, no.
Yeah, their sister was getting married today. They were both going to be groomsmen. So it's absolutely awful what happened to this family. I know their uncle left a statement with the media saying they appreciate all the prayers and the just everybody reaching out, and it just absolutely sucks that somebody that was good for the game and somebody that did a lot for others is gone. And I can only hope that other people on the Columbus Blue Jackets can fill that void for him. I know it'll be very tough. He was a fan favorite, but want to wish the best to him and his family, and wish him the best.
Yes.
Yeah, Johnny was 31 and Matthew was 29. So I got the years wrong. Yeah. So, yeah. But the biggest message too, don't drink and drive, for fuck's sake.
Never.
The person that killed
please. Him. Allegedly. Please. Please, just, like, if it's not... There's always someone to pick you up. There's Uber, there's drink and drive and everything. Just, there's always a better way. If you want to get somewhere with your car, just make sure someone drives you home in that same car afterwards. Then just crashes on your couch or whatever. Just never get behind the steering wheel after you've drank. Me, as a bartender... every time someone comes into the bar with their car, they're like, just now I just have a small beer. I'm driving. And I'm like, you shouldn't drink any beer if you're driving. And they're like, oh, I'm just not going to be any effect on me. And I'm.
Yeah.
If something happens and you have blood, alcohol in your blood, you will be held accountable. So just never do that. Like, under the influence of any drug whatsoever. I don't care how okay is, because, like, people here drive high on weed, and they say that there's no effect on them while they're driving. Because I don't do that. I like any sort of drugs apart from the occasional cigarette. I don't do anything else, and I can never speak about, you know, what effect it has on your daily life. But, like, when you're driving, you're supposed to be driving. You're not only putting your life in danger, you're putting everyone else's life in danger that are surrounding you. Not only the drivers, but, like, pedestrians. and like people waiting for the buses, like you can crash into them or make someone else crash into them. It's like every day people die in the streets in my home city. Like the people driving in my home city are the worst drivers in the entire country. And it's just mind-boggling. And that's why I'm so flabbergasted at jaywalking in London. Because like the moment you jaywalk in Bulgaria, you get killed. Okay? In the middle of the road. Like, just don't do that ever. So yes, please do not drink and drive. Ever. It's like, if you don't give a crap about yourself, there's an easier way to end it. But just don't take other people with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm sorry to like bring this down, you know, but it's just something that I wanted to talk about because, like, how he just affected a lot of people, and he was like a beloved player, and it sucks that he's gone, and that was pretty much it that I wanted to say. So I appreciate the time that you gave me to do that. Something else too I wanted to bring up was the unfortunate passing of Sid Udy, or aka Sid Vicious, Sid Justice, Psycho Sid. If you ever got to see that man, just wow. He was a scary man, like when he was a heel, but he was so
scary man.
He was so cool, like, also, like, just, he was good. Our best wishes to his family. I'll wear a shirt, that says, Sincerely. It was from, Stephen Amell's cancer charity that he did, and, it's just basically a F cancer thing. Cancer sucks. So we lost Sid to cancer. And just want to say, wish our best to his family. And want to say thank you, Sid, for the memories that you've given us wrestling fans. So,
yes.
Okay, now we're going to move on to something else more positive now. Sorry to bring everything down, but it was something that I thought we needed to do.
These things need to be spoken up about.
Yeah, and we're 95% of the time we're going to be a positive show, so it's just sometimes we just have to step outside and do our thing. But Maggie, you know, we obviously know there's two big shows WWE-wise, but there's other shows going on this weekend. You have TNA Emergence that's taking place in Louisville, Kentucky tonight. And then you also have New Japan.
Happy birthday to Sean, by the way.
Yeah. Yep. Happy birthday to Sean Ross Sapp, our boss, our good friend. He turns 64. I don't know if that's true, but it's his birthday. So happy birthday to Sean.
Happy birthday to Sean. Not as tall as he says he is. He's really short, by the way. In real life, not that tall.
Yeah.
Not that
tall. So.
Give me StreamYard access, you butthole. Happy birthday, but give me StreamYard access.
So.
And I hope you took care of that constipation, by the way, sweetie.
Him or me? Because I'm...
Sean.
I know, I'm joking. I'm good. I don't have any issues today. Anyways, let's move on. We're going to talk about NXT Emergence. Just going to do a preview. We're not going to do predictions.
TNA Emergence.
Yeah, is that what I said?
You said NXT Emergence, which is basically might happen.
Yeah, NXT TNA. Yeah, sorry, you're right. I did say that. TNA Emergence. Here we go. Zachary Wentz, Hammerstone, Mike Bailey, Jason Hotch, Riley Osborne of NXT, and Laredo Kid. Yeah, let's go. Next match.
You did awesome with your Mike Bailey interview, by the way. You did awesome. Oh,
thank you. Thank you. Another match taking place is an 8-man tag. Or excuse me, a 6-man tag. No, it is an 8-man. Sorry. The System taking on Matt and Jeff Hardy, Joe Hendry, and Mike Santana. You have Steve Backlund versus Eric Young. Yeah. Countdown. Oh, I should have put this in order. Oh, well. Countdown match. Zach Ryder, but Matt Cardona is not cleared, so he has somebody filling in for him, a monster, he says, taking on PCO. I'm not sure who this monster is going to be, but
Oba Femi.
That would be badass. It would be badass, but I don't see that happening. I don't know who it'll be, but I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
You have a 6-woman tag match. Ash by Elegance, Alicia Edwards, and Masha Slamovich taking on Jordan Grace and Spitfire. And then the main event is a 1-hour Iron Man match featuring Nick Nemeth defending his title against Josh Alexander. That has a chance to be a hell of a match. 1-hour match. Jesus. Let them just go at it. And that match with that I brought up about the one with like Riley Osborne and stuff, that's an Ultimate X match. I don't know if I said that or not, but I mean, damn.
I would like to see Riley Osborne in an Ultimate X match because the X division over at TNA is pretty much one of the reasons why you should be watching TNA. Their X division is basically, X division matches are basically guaranteed an awesome match for you to see on a TNA Impact or a TNA pay-per-view. So
another match go ahead.
Just tune in to X division matches all the time. Yeah.
Yeah. Another match that I forgot to mention, is another countdown match. Kushida versus the person that blocked Maggie on Twitter, Frankie Kazarian.
You know what? Right. This is an excellent segue into AEW Dynamite this week.
Yeah, because you know, like I don't know if you saw the tweet from me, but
I didn't.
Moxley got in the ring. Moxley. I'm like, kick his ass.
Kick his ass, yeah. Because like this isn't your show anymore. And like I was like, Rob is so happy right now.
Yeah, I'm like, kick his ass. Well, you know, before we do go to NXT, I did want to preview New Japan.
Dynamite! Just stop saying NXT all the time.
Did I say that? Did I do it again? I thought you said New Japan.
No, you said NXT.
Did? Oh, damn it, man. It's my first day, I guess.
Yeah, the one time we talk about NXT on our show.
Yeah.
And you say NXT all the time.
Now I can't stop talking about it. What the hell's wrong with me? But here, I'll just go through these really quick. So.
Go, Corey. I'm rooting for Corey, not anyone from New Japan.
Hiromu Takahashi taking on Mustafa Ali. Zack Sabre Jr. taking...
Hi. Hi. Titan.
Zack Sabre Jr. taking Titan. On Titan. Strong Openweight Tag Team Championship. Maggie's guy, Hitchero and Virus taking on TMDK's Mikey Nichols and Shane Haste. That's going to be kick-ass.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be kick-ass. It is. So,
and the here. Be helpful if these matches all lined up here. I want to thank
StreamYard
for having fun now.
For having fun, yes. It's probably because of Sean's birthday and his constipation. That's why.
So, yeah, that's exactly probably what it is. But you also have Naito taking on TJP. That's not it. You have Naito taking on TJP. You have Leo Rush versus Gabe Kidd.
Watching Gabe Kidd live, by the way, is a totally different experience.
Oh, I'm sure.
On Ref Pro, yeah.
Mercedes Moné defending her title against Momo Watanabe.
What? Yeah.
A kickoff match that they got scheduled. Mina Shirakawa and Hanako, I think that's how you pronounce it, versus Trish Adora and Viva Van.
I will always say yes to Trish Adora.
I will always say yes to Mina. So,
of course.
Yeah. What else is new, Rob?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
She got excellent reception at RevPro.
Oh, yeah.
It's safe to say, yeah, it's safe to say people adore Mina.
Strong survivor match. Matt Vandegrift taking on Alan Breeze. Grudge match. Fred Rosser and Tom Lawler taking on Jarrell Nelson and Royce Isaacs of the West Coast Wrecking Crew. You have a six-man tag match with Yoshihashi, Kevin Knight, and Rocky Romero taking on the Bullet Club War Dogs and David Finlay, Gorilla Maloney, and Clark Connors. And that should be it, I think. So maybe I missed one, but who cares?
Corey does.
Yeah, sorry, Corey, if I missed one, let me know.
Yes, please.
Yes, we want
our
Mina.
New Japan correspondent.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, Maggie.
We want Mina.
Ooh, yes. Soupy makes a good point. He would like to see Maxine Paler as Cardona's monster. Yeah, that's good. All right. So, AEW All In and AEW Dynamite. Maggie, tell everybody about your trip if you want to, or if you already, up to you, if there's anything else you wanted to mention about it. But let's talk AEW Dynamite too.
My trip, like my flight to London was like, I know that the plane needs to do a couple of things in order to get up in the air, but like the way I see it, it's totally unnecessary because like my insights were all over the place and I'm like, this shouldn't be a natural way to travel. On the way back, I had zero problem apart from, you know, really long metals spearing my ears. Like, that's how my ears were hurting on the way down during the flight. My ears still hurt, by the way. I've been here for 24 hours now, and my ears are still hurting from that landing. All In. So here's the thing. I don't know how it came across on television, but everyone lost their minds when Nigel McGuinness came out.
Oh yeah.
That place went apeshit. Okay? Like beers were spilled. Women gave birth.
I was gonna say babies were made.
Yes, babies were made, you know.
Yeah.
Because like there was a cameraman in front of us the entire time. And I even saw myself on the Titantron once. Yeah. So that guy did not move. And I'm like, are you planning on sitting here throughout the entire time? So the moment Nigel McGuinness's name came out on the Titantron and his music hit, like everyone at the same time, it was so well choreographed, went up in like beers. It was so good. I lost my shit. Zack Sabre Jr., my voice was lost from RevPro the other night because of Zack Sabre Jr. So RevPro was happening. Zack Sabre Jr. had an amazing match with Hechicero. And right in the middle of the match, I shout at the top of my lungs, at the very top of my lungs, fucking marry me, Zack.
Oh, that was you. Okay.
Yeah.
How did that go with everybody around?
John, he laughed a lot. And there was this fan sitting, you know, below us, and he turned to us and he's like, well, at least you tried.
Yeah, nice.
At least you tried. Yeah, and I, like, witnessing Zack Sabre Jr. wrestle is an experience I hope that every wrestling fan can have in their lifetime. And against Hechicero was the proper opponent. Glorious match, absolutely glorious match. I pop for Jamie Hayter, of course. The thing that absolutely never crossed my mind was that people were going to be weird on Twitter and say that she wants to be Becky Lynch just because she dyed her hair ginger. Jesus. So why I love the fact that there are still men out there that think that women are only hair color. Like, I was definitely not Becky Lynch when I looked like Becky Lynch. I think that is a huge compliment, you know. But like that's not a thing. Please, everyone, just stop. Jamie Hayter is in amazing shape. I have no doubt that she's going to be booked excellent in her return journey to AEW, and I can't wait to see what she does. Looking forward to that. Saraya was booed out of the building in RevPro. Just fuck off Saraya chants. And I was like, I did not see this coming. Like, what? Yeah, they do not like her. And all of a sudden, they booed the crap out of the Grizzled Young Veterans. And I was like, what? Where am I? Where am I? Is this London? What is this? So they debut on All In for AEW, and everyone lost their minds. And I'm like, what? Fickle wankers. Fickle. It was so stupid. And I understand why. I hope that with the Grizzled Young Veterans there, the tag team division in AEW gets a well-deserved reboot after that. So the Casino Gauntlet match. Was I the only one that was disappointed in the end?
Oh, no. There were a lot of people disappointed.
So a lot of people were disappointed by that. Because like I was like, okay. Because the match was so good. Ricochet debuted. Everyone was really excited. But because of... You got Zack Sabre Jr. For some reason, fucking Jeff Jarrett that everyone likes. And Nigel McGuinness in that place. So Okada and Orange Cassidy were amazing together. They hug. And after that, like, it was so good. So... brilliant. So why, like, you got Ricochet coming out that late and people were already so spent. I myself lost my voice after Zack Sabre Jr. and Nigel McGuinness. I couldn't talk at all, and they then have Ricochet and I'm like, yay, like a old woman. And I was like taking pictures and everything. It was really good. So the match was deflating. The end was really deflating. I don't understand. I'm ridiculously glad that Chris Jericho had a match and had a performance because... exactly like me, like the entirety of Wembley Stadium thought of the same thing and just went to the loo. And incredible line for the toilets, okay? Incredible line. And I'm like, they need to know about this. Like, yeah. People, yeah, they really do need to know. So because you won't believe the amount of zero reception I got in Wembley Stadium. I got the same problem at the RevPro building like no reception. I didn't even have coverage. Zero reception, and that is the exact reason, and this pains me, okay? I didn't get to meet Mel.
Yeah, that sucks.
We were in the same building, but like each and every, like either of us were getting DMs from the other person, like with an hour delay. And then we couldn't get in touch with each other. I asked her where she is, and then I got an answer from her in an hour and a half later, and I'm in Wembley Stadium at that moment. So I hated the fact that I couldn't, like, I was legitimately the same building as Mel was, and then we couldn't meet each other because of the zero reception. This is fucking bullshit, man.
Yeah.
I couldn't meet with my friend Jim, Wrestle Jim on Twitter. We got to meet each other for like 5 minutes last year because of that exact same reason, because of the lack of reception. You would be surprised at the amount of tweets I couldn't tweet out because of the lack of internet.
Yeah.
Yeah. It sucks immensely, but like the joy of me being there was still incredible. I cried when Bryan Danielson won the championship. Because during the last 5 minutes of the match, no one was sitting. Everyone was up of their seat, and every one of us believed that Bryan Danielson was winning this match. But at some point we were like, oh my God, maybe this is it. Maybe this is our last time that we actually get to see Bryan Danielson wrestle. And then when he did, like, I could see grown men crying with their children in their arms. This wow. was the most wonderful feeling ever. And Tony Khan paying for the final countdown in Wembley, kudos to Dan. Yeah. Yes, he is absolutely great. Amazing. And he deserves it so much. So now we just are looking forward to Swerve Strickland and Hangman Adam Page, because this will certainly be a wonderful match. A cage match, right?
Yeah.
Yes, okay, a cage match. Wonderful, wonderful thing. Pac and Will Ospreay.
Mm-hmm.
I love a good Poison Rana. And when you're as good as Will Ospreay is, and you sell the crap out of that Poison Rana. Okay. Yeah, on the stage. Amazing. So, so good.
What do you think of Marina Shafir?
I did not see this coming, because I see an incredibly muscular back and I'm like, okay, who is this? I would really like my back to look exactly like this, but who is this? And then it's Marina Shafir and I'm like, fucking finally. Because like a lot of people were wanting Marina Shafir to be in the BCC for a long time now, if you remember. And now she's a part of Moxley's stable of people. You know, yeah. Moxley would turn with no hair, and all of a sudden you understand just how badass he is, actually. Because I know AEW is going to be fine, but it's always hard when both Moxley and Kenny Omega are missing from your show.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Yeah, that is a problem. And John Moxley's back, and I can't wait to see where this goes. Darby Allin, please, kayfabe, kill him.
Kayfabe.
Kayfabe.
Where do you think this is going with Moxley? Where obviously some people on Twitter think he's referring to Shane McMahon. It's not yours anymore, which I don't really. I don't know, but I don't know where it's going.
If he's referring to Shane McMahon, and he's, are they referring to him fighting Shane McMahon?
No, that's what I don't know. Like, I don't like, so when he said this isn't your company anymore, it's obvious he was talking, like, obviously we know he's talking to Tony Schiavone, but basically what he was doing was talking to Tony Schiavone. He knows Tony Khan's in Tony Schiavone's ear, and basically he was talking to Tony Khan when he said that this isn't your company anymore.
Yeah. No, please, like, let's move on from the Shane O'Mac stuff, please. Like, if, like, we're basically throwing it out into the universe, and I don't want that. Please, just stop.
So this is my thing. From a. So there's two things. Soupy says Moxley could bring in Barnett and Lashley in the faction. The thing is that is true. However, I talked about this yesterday on the Fightful Prediction Show. Josh Barnett, he has a lot going on, like, right now with WWE, like, doing stuff with GCW. And, I mean, if he thinks it's better for him to maybe get more money, like, doing the AEW thing, like, this is his way to move on from that, then sure. I mean, maybe that's the way he goes. I mean, we never, like Sean says, you never know somebody's motivation, like, for Absolutely. When it comes to money. So maybe that's true. I could totally see that happening. And Bobby Lashley, that's completely logical. I don't mind the idea, but it's just one of those things where it's like, okay, well, Moxley, the thing is, that doesn't really change Moxley, really. Moxley's been that kind of guy. Like, he's just adding a little bit more, I don't want to say arrogance, but he's adding more of a edgier, I guess, side to him. I guess that's the way to say it. So I don't know. But as far as, like, also, like, the Shane part, that adds...
Stop it.
No, this is where I'm going to say why they shouldn't do this from a PR standpoint, is that's just going to bring questions to Tony, like, bringing up Vince, you know, like, Shane McMahon, yeah, like...
The little we talk about Vince, the better. And now with the documentary on Netflix coming out with Vince, and I'm like, why are we doing this? Like, why don't we? At this point, it's just for the clicks, okay? It's just for the clicks. And I understand that a lot of people are going to tune into this documentary.
Oh, yeah.
I understand that. But, like, he's right in the middle of an investigation, and... You know,
I mean, the one thing too is WWE does not have like any credits to it, so they're not attached, like, yeah, production wise. Mm-hmm. So that's I'm hoping that stays true. Like, you know, like, I hope they don't have any editing say or anything like that. Because granted, sure, they just signed a deal with Netflix, so I hope it's just spot on, and I hope we learn some things is what I really want to know. And I think that's what everybody wants to know, is we want to learn stuff. So,
yeah.
But, Maggie, plug your shit.
Guys, you can follow me on Twix or Twitter or X or whatever at Maggie_IK and on Instagram at Maggie.IK. Tune in to True Heel Heat for our prediction show with SP3 today. We had a bunch of fun. Rob?
Guys, you can follow me at Rob Wilkins on X. I'm also on Instagram and Threads at Fightful Rob. So, and then, of course, right here, every Friday at 3 o'clock Eastern, catch us coexisting with Rob and Maggie. As you know, we are ridiculous. We have a lot of fun. And
we are God ridiculous. We are.
Yeah, we are. That we are. So, yeah, with that in mind, we want to say thank you very much. We hope you enjoy the shows if you watch them this weekend. Bash in Berlin.
A lot of wrestling.
NXT No Mercy. If you watch Capital Collision tonight for New Japan Pro Wrestling, or TNA Emergence. There is a TNA Emergence post-show tonight. And there is also obviously a SmackDown post-show tonight. Phil Lindsay is stepping in for Kate, who's at a Double J Jeff Jarrett concert. That's what I told him. that's my bit now. I think she's hanging out with her sister, and what I said is, like, okay, yeah, just enjoy your Double J concert. And I think she might be going to Capital Collision. Maybe that's it. I don't know. I could be wrong. I'm not wrong often, but it is what it is. But guys, want to say thank you very much for tuning in. We will talk to you next week, and we hope you enjoy next week or this week's shows. Peace out, homies. Bye-bye.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/try.